August 16th, 2018. My name is Laura, and I will be your peak host for today. In observation of the 73rd anniversary of the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, today's episode will focus on atomic bombs. Because 70 years have passed since the horrible events of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, today it may seem that nuclear weapons are some distant, abstract threat. However, implications of these weapons extend far beyond their effects on real people's health and the non-proliferation advocacy it has spurred. We're going to take a brief look at the history behind the creation of nuclear bombs and the decision that led the U.S. to drop these weapons on Japan during World War II. Keeping its historical circumstances in mind, we're going to learn about some amazing people who have come out of their suffering as victims of the atomic bombs and transformed their suffering into powerful arguments for nuclear non-proliferation activism. Let's get started. U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt received a letter from physicists Albert Einstein and Leo Szilard, calling to his attention the prospect of a bomb that could be created by tapping into the forces of nuclear fission. Now, I won't get into the physics of it, but it was a big deal. Einstein and Szilard feared that the Germans were already working on this kind of technology, so they urged the United States to join the race for an atomic bomb. As a result, the U.S. recruited theoretical physicist Robert Oppenheimer, and on July 16, 1945, the first atomic bomb was successfully tested in the Alamogordo Desert in New Mexico. However, by this time, Germany had surrendered to the Allied powers. So, after some deliberations among U.S. officials, the government took the irreversible step of deciding to drop atomic bombs on Japan to quickly end the war in the Pacific. Going into the actual events of the bombing themselves, on August 6, 1945, Sadako Sasaki was a happy two-year-old enjoying breakfast with their brother, mother, and grandmother. And hundreds of houses were blown away at the hypercenter as infrastructure and agriculture were burned to a crisp. The Sasaki home came down onto itself in an instant, and in the midst of this chaos, Sadako and her family escaped to a nearby city where they reunited with her father, only to return to Hiroshima a few months later. Hundreds of thousands of people died in Hiroshima that day, while hundreds of thousands of more people like Sadako would endure suffering later in their lives that they could not imagine at the time. And 3 days later, 16-year-old Sumitero Taniguchi was delivering mail 5,900 feet away from the hypocenter in the early morning when Fat Man detonated over the city of Nagasaki. Mr. Taniguchi was knocked off his bike, the skin of his back and left arm torn off in the bomb's wake. Mr. Taniguchi somehow made his way to safety and eventually received medical care, although the injuries and illnesses he suffered because of the bomb gravely affected him until his death at the age of 88 in 2017. Sadako Sasaki and Sumitero Taniguchi are one of the thousands of hibakusha, the Japanese term for people who were exposed to radiation after the dropping of atomic bombs in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. While united by this tragedy, the course of their lives took very different turns. Although started in the same way, we're really different. I'll start off with Sadako Sasaki. She unfortunately died when she was just a child. Sumitero Taniguchi lived on to become an activist, but the way they lived their lives, while different, really affected the way people today see nuclear weapons. So I'll get into that now. So Sadako Sasaki was inspired by the Japanese legend of 1,000 cranes. The idea was that you would be granted a wish if you folded 1,000 paper cranes. Before she died in 1955 at age 12, Sadako folded more than 1,300 cranes. And while her wish to become healthy once more and return to her family did not come true, her kindness and compassion inspired a memorial to be built in her memory at the Hiroshima Peace Memorial Park in 1958. Sadako Sasaki is one of the more famous hibakusha, and her story has sort of been told in 100 different ways. So this book that had recently come out was actually written along with her brother, Masahiro Sasaki, who was also a hibakusha. I believe he's still alive today. So this complete story of her life is really important to anyone both interested in this topic and just in humanitarian issues in themselves. So we highly suggest it to you. And going back now to Sumitero Taniguchi, overcame his debilitating wounds and lived on to become an activist, devoting his life to informing people of the horrors of nuclear weapons and their proliferation. If you were to look up his name, he died not too long ago. You would see many news articles in where reporters and interviewers would detail how Mr. Taniguchi would take off his shirt and reveal the horrific wounds that he suffered on his back and left arm because of the radiation. And on his chest, you would see these intense bed sores in which he developed after spending more than a year laying on a hospital bed, unable to move. So Mr. Taniguchi was powerful both in his delivery and in his physical body as being a representation of the horrors of nuclear war. And in 2006, Mr. Taniguchi was appointed chairman of the Nagasaki Atomic Bomb Survivors Council. In addition, in 2010, he delivered a speech to the parties of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty at the United Nations. Despite the slow movement of the international community on ratifying and really following through with the parameters and treaties set by the United Nations for complete nuclear non-proliferation, stories of Sadako Sasaki and Mr. Taniguchi did not allow the world to forget the irreversible damage that can be done by a state in possession of nuclear weapons. As a child, Sadako represented peace and compassion that everyone in the world should strive for. She held no resentment towards the actions of men that led to her condition and ultimately her death. Instead, she wished for people to let go of their resentment of what happened. Hers is a story of unity and love for the people that she held close to her. And as an activist, Mr. Taniguchi was a firsthand account of what the horrors of war and nuclear weapons look like and how the consequences extend a lifetime. Mr. Taniguchi was one of the many hibakusha who fought against being stigmatized for the diseases that plagued them in Japan and urged the international recognition of the hardships they faced. Mr. Taniguchi committed his life to advocating for a world free of nuclear weapons. As he traveled the world to tell his story, I'm gonna skip that part. So to end, while Sadako Sasaki and Sumitero Taniguchi are two of the more famous hibakusha, there are thousands of people like them and they are an aging population. They need young people to remember the events of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, to remember those who died, to remember those who suffered, and most importantly, to continue the fight hibakusha started. It is not enough to commemorate the events but allow an international war culture to persist. This is a discussion motivated topic that and where things won't change until every voice is speaking loud enough to be heard and change can be brought about. So it's just really important to just talk and talk and talk about these things until something can finally be done about them. Into this episode, and we'll get back to you next week with some more content.